Welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
Brody.
Hello.
And Kieran.
Hello.
Today, we're going to be talking about Fallout, getting more players, EA's upcoming Black Panther game, and some controversy around Star Wars Outlaws. But first, let's talk about your Harold Halibut review, Brody. For those that don't remember the game, it's got this kind of funky claymation art style, but I'm sure Brody will fill us in on some more. Tell us, how did you find the game, Brody?
Look, Harold Halibut was one that I was very excited for. I'm into these sort of classic feeling adventure sort of games. Harold Halibut for me ultimately was a little bit disappointing. Despite having, you know, a really appealing art style that does riff on, you know, claymation of old. Like, I grew up playing games like The Neverhood and Sam and Max and stuff like that, and obviously watching Wallace and Gromit and all that sort of gear. So that holds a special place in my heart, but that can only do so much of the heavy lifting. Like, as good as it is, and like the sci-fi setting is great, and I think the story in general is a fun premise. The game's everything it tasks you with, all the objectives, just feels like real menial, busy work, and it never really feels rewarding to play. Like, the exploration grows old very quickly, there's just not a lot of variety in the things you do, unfortunately.
I heard there wasn't an awful lot really to do in terms of gameplay. Like, I kind of compared to walking simulators. I don't particularly like that term. Where was there sort of much gameplay to it? Any puzzle solving, anything like that?
Very rarely seen, like, variations to what you do. So a lot of it is just sort of, you know, fetching this from here, delivering this to this person, going to talk to this person. It's just all walking around the station, which gets, it's only a 3-level station. It's all on a pretty horizontal plane. Like, there's not a lot to it. And, the very minor things you might do, like you might have to work this machine that requires you to like press a button at the right time for something, and it's like real stuff, like stuff like that, that doesn't really, you know, doesn't buzz you. And just the quest design in general was a bit weird. Like, they'd always give you an objective and you'd go to do it, like whether it was roping someone in on a mission or something like that, and they'd just be like, no, and just shut you off, and then like the plot and the quest would like pivot to another point entirely. Like, there's like, it was very, it had, like, to use a real awful term, it had, like, blue balls you constantly. Like, with, you think, oh, this is where it's going to go. And then they're like, nah, actually, don't worry about that. That person's not going to play a role at all. We're just going to go do something else. And
right.
It was just weird. It was really hard to get into it in that sense. And the only other minor things that I sort of could pick at, but I don't want to because, like, the game still looks really beautiful, is that unlike something like The Neverhood, which I guess was, it had the benefit of being a point and click, so it sort of wasn't as reliant on like player input in the sense that this is. Like, it's clear that it's, rather than someone like moving models in between every frame like you would have in like traditional claymation, like it's all scanned onto like it's like on like rigs and stuff like that. So it's like animated as a traditional game would be, and like, so that's beholden to all the usual hang-ups, like pop in and textures like not rendering and stuff like that, so that can break immersion from time to time, but ultimately the visuals and the story do carry a lot of the redeeming parts of this game, and it's mostly the game itself that was pretty disappointing for me.
Okay. Is it like, you know, if you're a fan of Oxenfree or kind of something of that ilk, like, are you likely, I'm trying to remember what was the kind of psychedelic rock one?
Artful Escape.
Artful Escape, yeah. Like, if you're a fan of that kind of style of game, is there something to latch onto with this one, or is that not necessarily a sure thing?
No, I don't know. Like, Oxenfree, I feel like, had a bit more going in terms of, like, at least the mystery of it, whereas that's not really here. Like, you know what you're doing from the start, and you're just driving toward that goal, and there's a few twists and turns along the way, but it's nothing like that, and that obviously had a different vibe. It was horror. Artful Escape was more like a platform game, as basic as it was, and then like you had these like epic guitar solos in the middle. So, but at the end of the day, they were both like 4 or 5 hour games. Like, whereas this like drags you along for about 12 hours and you're like, ugh, when are we getting through this thing, you know? So, yeah, look, it is a similar similar sort of game, I guess, in that sense. Like, there's minimal gameplay for what you do, but yeah, those ones at least were a little shorter lived, which in their cases I think was good.
Yeah. That's a bit of a shame to hear. Kieran, is this something that you had on your radar at all? Had you got an itch to play it?
Yeah, like definitely for the same reasons that Brady said, like having grown up on that sort of stuff, it has a lot of appeal. But yeah, knowing that it's that much of a time commitment with not much reward in terms of gameplay, I'm a little bit more hesitant. I think it's definitely something I'll still pick up and at least like play for a bit and enjoy what's there. It's on Game Pass. Not feel too bad if I drop it. And yeah, it's on Game Pass, so I can do that, I guess.
Just hearing the words "it's on Game Pass" and like immediately makes me far more likely to jump in and give it a go. I'd take it though, like Brody, I mean, to try and end on a more of a positive note, like, were you able to find enough in the game that's kind of got you hopeful that, you know, their next game is going to be more your jam?
I think so. Like, you might compare it to, say, who's the developer that does like Layers of Fear?
Bluebird.
Like, I feel like with every game, they're adding more strings to their bow that makes them a bit more versatile. And I think if they sort of presuming everyone feels the same way as me, like I've not really read any reviews for Harold Halibut today. Like, I think I've seen a few that seem pretty positive, so that's good, obviously, for them. But, you know, if the general sentiment is that the gameplay could have been, you know, this or it could have been that, then if they take that away, like, I feel like their storytelling, the character work and the setting and, like, even the music, like, there's some, like, really nice, like, sci-fi, like, themes that, like, use, like, a theremin and stuff like that, which is, like, really different and left field. Like, I think the presentation side of things is, like, top-notch. It's just, yeah, finding that other piece of the puzzle, but... so much of the identity of this game is the claymation side of it, so I couldn't imagine it as being anything else, but I can't imagine them sort of sticking with that either, because it, you know, they were making this game like 10 years ago. Like, it's a long time between drinks if you want to keep doing that. But yeah, look, I think there's promise there for sure.
Yeah. Cool. I kind of tempted as well to ask you about Tales of Kenzera a bit as well, Kieran, because I saw that you published your preview on that. And I don't know if we went into a huge amount of detail on a previous show, but I jumped into the preview since we last spoke. Sorry, not the preview, the demo. And really enjoyed it. And it pulled me right back into Prince of Persia to try and dust that off as well. Sorry, polish that off, I should say. Shannon shaking his head, me getting another saying wrong. How did you find Tales of Kenzera? Are you kind of as excited for that as I now am?
Yeah, definitely. Like, obviously we were discussing this last week, I think, because you were playing the demo. And
yeah, so, straight like, after our recording, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, I played the demo as well, like a while back. So I kind of already had an idea of what, you know, the game was and what I was getting into. But the preview session was cool because they did have a lot of the team on hand in like a behind closed doors kind of presentation to sort of go over like some of the thinking behind the, you know, the design of the game and stuff, which is really cool. Because obviously one thing they're really sort of pushing is that it's built on this idea of grief and like based on Akubakar Salim's like the actor who's like now the founder of this studio, like his own experience with like grief and death and stuff. And it was cool kind of hearing like from the designer and the composer and all these other people, how they're sort of imbuing those themes and the different design elements like combat and the world and the music and stuff. So, yeah, I'm really keen to like see the actual game all the way through and sort of see how that all plays out.
Yeah. Likewise. And yeah, I've just been reminded this week, diving back into Prince of Persia, how good that game is and how ready I am for more kind of side-scrolling Metroidvania-style games. All in. I do want to talk now about Fallout, though. We obviously spoke at length about the TV show last week, and Brody, you shared your review of the series as a whole. I, for one, am still really enjoying the series, albeit I'm only a couple of episodes in. And clearly others are feeling the same and have felt so compelled to fire up the games. We're seeing kind of record numbers kind of broken across, not just like Fallout 4, but I believe 76 and Fallout 3 as well, to a lesser extent, New Vegas as well. And that's helped that these games are kind of all being discounted. And I think in the case of Prime Gaming as well, available for free. After we spoke about it last week as well, an update to Fallout 4 was announced. So that's kind of coming and upgrading the game for current-gen consoles, and a patch coming to PC too. Shannon, have you jumped back in at all? Are you tempted to? Can you understand people's enthusiasm for the Fallout games again?
Yeah, definitely. Like, every time I watch an ep, I've been pacing myself as much as I want to sort of watch it all in one sitting. I'm doing, like, one episode a day. Yeah, every time I watch, I want to jump back in. But, yeah, it'd be Fallout 4, if any, just because I didn't make it very far through that. So I'd like to give that another go, but I'll wait. 76 I did download because I have heard, like, quite positive things from people that have played it since launch. Like, they've obviously added a lot since the disaster that was launch. So I've been tempted, but I think I'll just wait for Fallout 4 and the DLC drop. I think it's still, like, I know we spoke about it just before this was announced, but a bit of a missed opportunity not to have that ready to go, I think.
The timing of the announcement seems weird, like, because people were kind of going, including us, like, we were on the show last week going, you know, where is the kind of push around the Fallout games again?
Yeah.
And then kind of in, you know, the couple of days after the season's dropped, they're like, oh, there's an update available now. Maybe there was an element of strategy there, but it does seem a bit weird not to kind of have the two announced in tandem, I suppose, or like, yeah.
Yeah, that just, we don't really need to talk about it. I don't know a heap about it, but there was like the London modded DLC set to drop as well, and that's been pushed back, which is weird because apparently Bethesda was supportive of that and had like promoted it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is a shame. I didn't realize that project was kind of a thing. I only kind of heard about it.
Right up your alley. But surely.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great to see the franchise booming again. I think after 76 and even 4, I remember there being like not as rave thoughts about that when that came out. So it's good to see it surging again.
Brody, does it come as any surprise to you that people are kind of tempted to jump back into these games? Like Shannon said, it's been a while since we had a new one.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Like, there's always a bit of a fervor for Fallout, and it helps that the show's really good. And, like, the games are pretty available, like, no matter where you look. Like Shannon mentioned, they're on Prime, they're on Game Pass. And, like, I sort of expected, like, this probably to happen. Like I said last week, I thought it would be Fallout 76 that would get it. Like, people trying to go out and, like, create their own stories and stuff like that in a Fallout world. But, I myself this week, I was doing a little bit of dabbling with a Backbone, so I was playing a few things on Game Pass myself, and I booted up New Vegas for 20 minutes. I booted up Fallout 76, and I didn't get too far because I thought, oh, this is not the experience I really want for this game because I can't read shit. And yeah, Fallout 4 was the same. Like, I played that for another 20 minutes or so just to see where I was at. So yeah, I think I'll definitely dip the toes back into these worlds. I think I'll probably do what Shannon's doing and probably stick with Fallout 4 because, similarly, I did not finish that, whereas I played 100 plus hours of Fallout 3 in the day. So yeah, I feel like
Fallout 4, particularly with the update too, probably holds up a little bit better, I think.
How does kind of in terms of New Vegas hold up? I know that is the one that people love, and I don't think I played much of that either for whatever reason. No, but me neither. I feel like it would feel oldish.
Yeah,
from a design point of view.
Yeah, similar to Fallout 3, I suppose. It's that older engine and stuff like that. I mean, it's still good, though. Like, it's class role-playing. So, if that's what you're up for, then shit. There's people going back and playing, like, the first Fallout games. Yeah. So, say no more.
I think Tactics as well is also free for those with a Prime account, too. So, it's there's a few kind of Fallout games at your disposal now. And obviously, if you've got Game Pass, like, I think all of them are available through there now, right? That whole back catalogue?
Pretty sure,
I think so, yeah.
Kieran, do you think this is kind of the expectation now for all sort of TV, video game adaptations, or I mean, not just TV, I guess film too. Like, do you kind of expect to see surges in the game off the back of them, or is it kind of dependent on how good a TV or movie it is?
I mean, how many people went back and started playing the Twisted Metal games? Probably not many, right? Like, yeah.
Very true.
I guess it's kind of the objective in some cases, especially like PlayStation, The Last of Us, and the way that they were kind of releasing all that stuff in tandem, the remasters and the TV show. So I guess like that's the point, is you want to generate buzz in your franchise. Mm. So yeah, I think that's going to be the objective going forward. But then it's also nice, like something like Fallout, where there's nothing really on the horizon, for them to just like revisit that world for people that have been away for it for so long, and kind of recognize that it's still there and still compelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in credit to the TV show as well, like it captures the kind of experience of the game so authentically. Like, I'm fairly sure we spoke about it last week, but you know, I love even the kind of introduction to the key protagonist. I've already forgotten her name.
Lucy,
thank you. Rattling off kind of her list of skills and everything. Like, it just kind of walks you through that the character creator process, right, at the start of the game. And even, like, I complained about it too, but, like, the kind of surrealist nature of it, the gore of it, like, that's all kind of very true to the game as well. So, yeah, I must admit, I'm kind of itching to return to a Fallout game and fire one up. It's just hard when there's so many new games coming out. But I just fired up Steam because I was curious. You can get Fallout 4. It's the number 2 bestseller at the moment on the Steam list. And it's reduced to just $6.20. Fallout 76 is the 4th bestseller at the moment, and that's only $11. Fallout 3 is also on the list too, and that's just $7.50. So, yeah. If it's something you do, you can do so rather cheaply at the moment. It's pretty sick. All right, I do have some more news I'm eager to discuss with you all, though, and that is EA's Black Panther game seemingly being confirmed to be an open world title in a new job ad. The job ad appeared on EA's website and calls for a, quote, principal sandbox designer, the title alone kind of giving some clue as to what kind of game we can expect from EA. Shannon. Might come to you first on this one. What might an open world Black Panther game be like, do you think, and would it interest you?
I don't know, to be honest. Now that I think about it, I feel like it'd be like Marvel's Avengers and that expansion that happened there.
That's
I don't know. That's I don't really see what else they could do with it. To me, it doesn't seem that exciting. Again, I don't know a lot about Black Panther, to be honest. But yeah, it doesn't really hugely interest me, everything I see and hear about this. And the fact that it's open world doesn't hugely excite me, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of difficult, right, when we just saw the trailer for Marvel 1943, which obviously Black Panther is one of the key characters in that too. I think there's 4 playable characters in that game, if I'm not mistaken, but kind of one at a time. It's not a cooperative open world sort of thing. How do you think this differentiates itself from that game, Brody?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, the key selling point for me at the minute is Marvel 1943. It looks like it's going to be, obviously, being Amy Hennig, it's going to be more story-driven, probably linear, single-player, and, like, all those things just tick all the boxes that I'm after. Like, when I hear open world, I'm just tired, man. I'm tired. I don't want to play another Marvel open world game.
It feels cookie-cutter on paper. It sounds as cookie-cutter as it could be.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, are they tying it into the Spider-Man games, like the Wolverine one? I don't know, probably not. I don't know. Yeah. They're gonna have to do a bit to make me care. I think I'm a little burnt out on open world games that are open world just for the sake of things. Like, I'm definitely off the two. I'm more in for 1943 at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think like what 1943 might have going for it is its setting and that kind of historical setting in occupied France. And you maybe the Black Panther open world game, you know, set in Wakanda, it's kind of like a futuristic sort of city setting, could be quite cool. But then, like, how does it feel any different, or does it need to, compared to like Spider-Man or whatever Wolverine ends up being? I sort of feel like in terms of a playable character, Black Panther would probably be quite similar to Wolverine. Kieran, do you sort of feel like we could kind of reach a saturation point in sort of superhero games, like even just by nature of having two Black Panther games, but on top of all of the other Marvel games coming out, is there a danger of almost kind of going down the path that the movies have gone, of there just being too many?
Yeah, and probably for the same reason as the movies, is they're all so similar. I feel like whenever I say I'm like burnt out on superhero movies, it's just Marvel ones, because they all kind of do follow that established formula, which works, but like, you know, how many more times can you do it? I think it's the same, like you said, if you just like throw Black Panther in New York and let him run around, like that's not going to interest me at all. Setting it in Wakanda might change that, but you know, make a different, like choose a different genre, do something different, and maybe it will be interesting.
How does he get around? Like, does he have any kind of...
I think he walks. Okay,
that's what I thought. Like, he at prowls. Least Iron Man. Like, again, Iron Man, it sounds like it could be quite basic and just another Marvel game. But, like, it's at least that's interesting.
Yeah.
How he gets around and, like, Anthem-like.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah,
I do feel like traversal is kind of such a big part of games. And maybe that's just an expectation that Spider-Man has set.
Even the Arkham games, like gliding, and that was half the fun, like getting around like the Arkham games. So,
I could see them.
Like, I think Black Panther, like with their Wakandan army, I think they've got like a lot of like warships and stuff like that, and like vehicles. Like, I feel like if they could go down that route, maybe, like, it depends. Like, they might frame it on Wakanda, like in the middle of a conflict, and then suddenly, you know, you're zipping around in a Jeep here and there. I don't know. Like, either way, it's. We shouldn't be so critical. Like, we know nothing about it beyond the fact that it's possibly open world. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Better to be honest now.
I will say, though, like, gone are the days where the words, like, open world filled me with excitement. Like, I don't think I've probably been excited about the prospect of an open world game since I was, like, a teenager with much more time on my hands than I do now. But, yeah. And we had the rapid fire question not long ago about a kind of focused, a short focused story, and I want more of those.
I think it's just because we went from
43 is going to be
like no Marvel games and like no Star Wars games, and then it's just an inundation of them from everyone at once.
Look at you teeing me up on a segue. Speaking of Star Wars games, you'll require the season pass to play the Jabba the Hutt mission in Star Wars Outlaws. I might have just been last week or the week before, we were talking about the new story trailer that came out. There was some kind of confirmation as to what versions of the game were going to be available at launch off the back of that trailer. And it's been revealed this past week that the season pass for the game will include, quote, a day one exclusive mission with Jabba. I feel like it's probably important to note as well that you see Jabba in the story trailer, which, you know, he may otherwise feature in the game and it's just an additional mission that's kind of part of the season pass. But certainly if it's kind of part of the season pass, you experience them in no other way, that feels a bit disingenuous to me. But Brody, I might come to you first. Like, do you feel a little peeved by this in the same way that plenty of others are online?
No. Really peeved, I don't know.
Yeah. I was only sort of half listening because I was trying to find the article. Because I'm not really familiar with the story. Did I not link it? You did. I didn't realize I was looking at the site. That's okay. So I was not listening and I was wasting time. But anyway, so with it obviously being exclusive to the day one thing, is it still available outside of that? Like, do you get to it in the story at a later point naturally, or is it literally just locked to this?
That's not my understanding of it, but someone,
I think, similar. Correct me. I think older Ubisoft games, you would get the mission at launch if you had the season pass, and then like a few weeks or months down the track, they'd make it available to everyone else.
Right. Yeah, I guess the only reason it might be, you know, disheartening is that the fact that they've featured him in story trailers and stuff like that, leading you to think, like, unless he, because it is, like we said, it's that scoundrel story, so he probably already plays a pretty
big part in the story. Otherwise, or like, they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I think he'll probably play a role, and this little, you know, 15-20 minute mission or something like that will just, you know, tack on in a few months' time. I don't think
maybe
it's going to be
maybe
that
he'll be playable in the mission and not maybe in the main game.
Get your slug on or whatever he is.
It's just 15 minutes of him walking across the room.
Yeah. It's one of those slow walk and talk moments. Yeah. No, look, there's other things to be worried about, but please.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, it sucks because it's like such an iconic character, but I feel like most games do this now, like, for better or for worse. I don't know why everyone has it out for this game.
Yeah.
In particular, I feel like it's a lot of common standard practices. And like Kieran said, like, all of this stuff becomes available later on. And I feel like with something like this, you have to kind of... It has to be something people actually want, otherwise no one's going to buy it, and then it'd be pointless doing it. So as much as it does suck, like, obviously they have data that it works. And
yeah. I mean, I don't know how much of a draw card Jabba the Hutt necessarily is, but I guess, like, fan service, don't put it past it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just in the last topic, I was like, I'm all about more focus games, so actually having one less mission sounds quite appealing to me.
Unless it's the one mission you are hoping to play. Yeah. And then you're out of luck.
I mean, like, based on the kind of description of the mission, it doesn't sound all of that integral to the story or experience. And I think, like, if you want to shell out, what, like, an extra kind of $30 or whatever it is, then power to you. Obviously, it's not the only thing you get with a season pass. There's kind of more content in the future, too. But none of this feels terribly new to me. Like, I remember when Hogwarts Legacy came out, there was, like, a PlayStation exclusive mission, right? Which arguably, like, was one of the better missions in the game. You know, maybe memory doesn't serve me well. I mean, there's plenty to be outraged around that game, but I don't remember people being particularly incensed by that aspect of it. Yeah, I don't know. It feels like a bit of a mountain out of a molehill situation in this. And, like, I think it's a different story if the game has no content unless you have the season pass, but I sincerely doubt that to be the case. What about you, Kieran? Do you feel particularly upset by this at all? Do you have some opinions you want to get off your chest?
I don't even know who that guy is. I have no connection to Star Wars, really. So it's like everyone said, it just feels like every other Ubisoft release, what they do with all of their other games, kind of craft this, like, exciting mission that's going to appeal to a specific set of players and then lock it behind the season pass. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Who's a D-grade character in Final Fantasy? It'd be like them locking one of his storylines behind a paid mission.
Like, if they told me that you could play as Cloud in a thong and then lock that behind DLC, then I'd be pissed and handing over my money.
Well, imagine if, like, the whole Rebirth was like paid DLC. Oh man, like, the sales for that'd be through the roof.
You'd love that. You'd get to skip it.
I would, yeah. that's still the point where I've, like, just abandoned the game. I've gone and played a million other things instead. I need to get back to it at some point. I do have a rapid-fire question for you all today, though. PlayStation added some pretty cool things to the list of items you could buy in the PlayStation Stars Rewards program, including Helldivers 2 Super Credits, which particularly speaks to me, but full games like Bellatro as well, quite a recent release, too. My rapid-fire question for each of you is, ideally, what would you buy with your PlayStation Star points, or whatever they're called? I can't really remember. Are they just PlayStation Stars or credits? Or
reward points, I guess.
Reward points, yeah. Shannon, what would you like to spend your PlayStation Star points on?
I would say something Ape Escape, but there's already like 400 Ape Escape things and I haven't got any of them, so that'd be a lie.
Oh, you mean like all the trophies, like all the virtual collectibles and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or are we talking actual things? I don't know what to make of this question.
I mean, kind of like actual things. Like, would you want a game, particular game with them, or in-game currency?
Just bring back wallpapers and make them available.
That's a great shout. Themes. That is a good shout. What about yourself, Kieran? Themes, have you got something in mind?
Well, yeah, Uber Eats credit. So I can
complete a level and you get a McFlurry delivered to your door.
Absolutely. Every time I platinum the game, it's like, you need to eat.
And I would just like some money back on my PlayStation Plus subscription. That would be good.
Or subscription is a good shout.
Yeah. Brody, what about you?
Well, I'm still waiting for them to bring in PlayStation Home so I can, they can put, house decor into this thing. But for now, I'm just going to buy this Robert postcard. if you can see what that is.
Oh, yes.
The prehistoric Robert postcard. I'm going to buy it right now. Oh, I don't have any points.
They added Robert postcard to the app?
So how do you...
I don't know. How do you actually spell
them? How do you get these points?
But just like, by doing shit.
There's campaigns. You get a certain amount... You get a certain amount for like spending money in the PlayStation Store, obviously.
It's like the Nintendo points. Nintendo coins.
So it's not like the ones
But you also get, like, getting rare and above and trophies.
It's like, the same.
Okay.
You get them for doing missions too.
Yeah. I was level 4, which I think was like the max level for a little bit, but they've like extended it out now. And yeah, I need like 80 more rare above trophies, and I need to buy 4 games in order to like progress to the next level. But I've got 3,700 points.
A Bellatro?
I don't know. Where do you buy stuff?
You can look in the app.
Where's the store? That's what I'm looking. Rewards, is that it?
Yeah. You click on your level.
Here we go.
And you got Bellatro for 3,750 points. Worth it. 100%.
So I actually have... I'm pretty close to enough points to buy Bellatro. That's pretty cool.
Huge.
Doing it.
Anyhow, we're all learning something here. Speaking of learning things, though, let's learn about some games and what the wiki, the Press Start Podcast Game Show, where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page from an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with a round concluding after someone's bagged themselves 2 points. Last week, that was Kieran, who moved up into second place. The two of us are tied on 9 points apiece. Doing little to close the gap to James, who is currently in first place on 12 points. The rest of the pack is Shannon and Brody, tied in third on 7 points, and Harry in fourth on 5 points. But Kieran, yeah, you won last week, so you are today's host. Take it away when you're ready.
Okay. Like I was saying before this, I random game generated these, so it's probably going to be a case of first on the buzzer more than who knows what. But game number one is a kart racing game in which the player controls characters from the game's universe, most of whom compete in karts. While racing, the player can accelerate, steer, reverse, brake, Ewan. Hop, or use weapons. Ewan.
I'm just going to take a punt for the sake of it. Mario Kart 8.
No, it's not. Damn. Mario Kart 8. And power-ups with the game controller's analog stick and buttons. Two distinct forms of crates are scattered throughout the tracks. I feel like that was Shannon.
I don't... Crash Team Racing.
It's Crash Team Racing.
Bugger.
I was going to say Diddy Kong Racing until you said crates, so that was...
Yeah, good. I knew that was going to be the clincher. All right, let's keep this easy train rolling. This is... The second game is...
I like it.
The second game is an action role-playing game incorporating first-person shooter and stealth mechanics. Players take on the role of Adam Jensen, a man Brody. Equipped with... Oh. Brody.
Which one is it?
I'm
going to say Deus Ex, Human Revolution.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, nice.
That was like a 50-50.
All right. A point apiece to Brody and Shannon. If either of them guess the next one.
Huge.
That's it. Game over.
Game number three is a graphic adventure played from a third-person perspective with a variety of cinematic camera angles. In which the player as protagonist, Lee Everett, Ewan. Works with a rag... Ewan.
Telltale's The Walking Dead, season 1. Sure, I need to do it.
Episode 1.
Yeah. Don't make God, me name the episode.
You got a three-way.
Ooh.
Exciting times.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Game number 4... is a fighting game in which players compete in one-on-one combat using characters from the DC universe and Brody, other third-party... Brody.
Oh. DC universe. Injustice. Gods Among Us.
Shannon. Injustice 2.
Yes.
That's poo.
Good game.
That's brutal.
I'm Sorry, always Brody. On the other end, I feel, so I'll badly take that.
You would think that.
Well, okay. After that round, the scoring has shaken up a little bit. James still in first on 12 points. I'm now in second on 10. Kieran Shannon tied in third place on 9 points, and Brody on 8. So yeah, bit of movement in that round. I feel for you there, Brody. That was rough.
Still it's tight, right, though.
It's all right.
If yeah. it was going to go to anyone, you want it to go to me, so we can both sleep well. Sure.
Again, like not a huge degree of movement happening in the game at this stage.
Not enough. When's James back?
I take it next week. Is he back?
Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Oh, so we should have conspired and just gave Shannon like a clean sweep or something like that.
Yeah. We still can.
Or Ewan, really. That would have made more sense.
Anyhow, with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at pressstart.com.au. We've been joined today by Kieran.
Yeah, you can find me on X at @#BRAUN.
Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at Shannon Grixty on all the good things.
And Brody.
OnlyFans.
Thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG. And you can also find me on Shannon's OnlyFans.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.